I, rise and be healed. You could be healed. Jesus heals, and healing is for today. Jesus, when he ministered, he had his apostles around him, and when he finished preaching, he healed everyone that had a problem physically. People came to him. Some just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Later, the apostles went out and had similar experiences. You can be healed. Doesn't matter the church you belong to. If there's nobody in your church to lay hands on you, you can ask Jesus yourself. And you can lay your hands on the part of your body and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And you shouldn't give up. This is your life. And you can ask Jesus to heal you. But keep in mind about healing that 2,000 years has gone by. And obviously, everybody doesn't get healed. But we don't have too many people going out and holding healing rallies. We want to shy away from that because we're afraid if somebody doesn't get healed, you know, what will they think? Well, we've gotten pretty used to asking people to accept Jesus. We have all kinds of ways to plead with people to accept Jesus. But generally, we at least try to have an opportunity at points to have a time that people can accept Jesus by coming forward and praying a little prayer we usually call the sinner's prayer. We're pretty good to some degrees of having this sort of commonly. And some people, they'll every single service, they will have opportunity for people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this is pretty important. It should be a staple in all times that you are ministering, is to offer a time that people can accept Jesus, even if you have to save me a sinner type of a thing. Just say, save me a sinner, because in that two words or three words there, the understanding of why Jesus came, God rose on the third day, and all this is involved in that save me a sinner. But generally we would say, and you could pray along with me, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that you rose him on the third day, that he died for my sins on the cross. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. That kind of a prayer gets you saved. And it's a good idea to begin to read the Bible. I always tell you King James Bible, because the King James Bible is pretty much the only Bible that comes from the original copies of the originals, whereas all modern translations come from Westcott and Hort. And I would suggest that you go on your web browser, type in Westcott and Hort, and see who these people are before you haphazardly just dive into modern versions. So we're sort of comfortable inviting people to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there's a couple of other things that is for all Christians. They're not requirement for salvation, but they're for all Christians, and Jesus does indeed want you to have these things. But it's more in the area of choice, like being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized in water, what's happening here is you're symbolizing Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And so, and this is sort of a choice, and people do this. You can baptize somebody in water. There's no need for a pastor to do it. It's more convenient and more, we get more information sometimes, and they usually have a little setup to do this in, or you know, you can just simply find some water, have somebody, some Christian, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, down, up. The Bible doesn't say that there is a law that you must obey, that people that somehow got titles of pastors or some sort of minister are the people that does the baptizing. But anyway, people can baptize you in water. And that's a pretty good idea. Again, not requirement to be saved, but it's a good idea, good public sign, because it's confession with your mouth. You're publicly showing that you're following the Lord in this symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. So usually after you get saved, you'd want to get water baptized. Some people want to sprinkle, and you know, it may not make a bunch of difference depending on the situation, but I would really want to suggest to you that you find some place that you can get totally immersed, because you got to get buried. That's part of the symbol. Sprinkling, you know, that's not burial. The people that sprinkle have their reasons for sprinkling. For me, you got to be completely dunked in water and then raised back up. So people baptize people in water, but Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to have the evidence of you speaking in tongues. Tongues is simply a different language. It can be earthly languages or it could be heavenly language. Earthly language, if you happen to be like somebody that understands and speaks that language, you have immediate confirmation. Guaranteed it's a language. You have no idea what you're saying, but this other person over here knows exactly what you're saying. And it's always going to be something in the line of praising God and making intercessory prayer and so forth like that. When you speak in heavenly language, there's not going to be anybody around to really understand it because that's their language. Heavenly language, or as they say, languages of angels and stuff like that. But you won't have an immediate edification, as it were, speaking a heavenly language. If you happened across somebody, if you spoke an earthly language, you would hear your own language. Like the first time this really began to happen was after that day of Pentecost, and all the apostles came out and gave a big preaching, and lots of people got saved, and Holy Spirit came on them. They started speaking in all kinds of different languages, and then that particular time in Jerusalem, the event was that there was a whole bunch of people from all the countries, and they were saying, one of these people, they don't even know the language, and they're speaking our language, and they're praising God, you know. So you run across somebody that understands the language that you happen to get, because you get a language that you can't understand. You don't know what it is because you don't speak it and you didn't learn it. But it can actually come through you. And it is by your choice, by your will, you could speak it as you try to speak, just like I'm speaking right now. It is by my choice, my will, that I'm speaking. But when you speak in tongues, you have to speak. It's just that you don't let your understanding be using your vocal cords. You're just letting the Holy Spirit use them, as it were. Then there's various gifts that can interpret languages that you don't understand. Sometimes you yourself will even get an interpretation of the very tongues that you just spoke. Now, baptizing the Holy Spirit is just not speaking another language that we just call tongues. and the Bible calls tongues, which is great because you're making intercessory prayer for yourself, for others, because you get to the point in life when you prayed all you could with your understanding and you just can't seem to get your point across. And so the Holy Spirit makes intercessory prayer. And your spirit's involved there. And that's where some confusion comes in, because some things seem like it's done in the spirit, but actually it's your spirit. You know, when you get baptized the Holy Spirit, you get exposed to the spirit world, as it was. Now, you're a Christian, so you got some controls on there. And Satan can't just run in and do everything he wants, but you're susceptible to your own spirit as well as God's spirit. So some things you may think it's God, but it's actually your spirit trying to get through on an issue. So sometimes you can call things of God when they're actually of you, in your depth of your own feelings and beliefs about something coming out in a spiritual way, because this is you. You believe this to your core. And until you get some sort of revelation, it's going to interfere with your operations in the Holy Spirit. So intercessory prayer is very important. It increases the power of prayer, because you not knowing what to pray for can make prayer a more perfect prayer for others. And results are actually more frequent. Again, this whole thing about why didn't it happen type of question some people have, I hear often, that, you know, why didn't God do that? Why didn't God do this? You know, I'd certainly like God to do everything I ask him about, but it just doesn't happen. And we don't have to go into some kind of thing and thinking, what's the matter with me, or why doesn't God, you know, this pretty serious thing. Well, yeah, it's serious to you. But you again have to look back. You came to Jesus by faith. 2,000 years of people went before you. So you have 2,000 years of history. You have available to you the way to search the scriptures, search history like nobody else ever have. So you will know that there are pockets of wonderful answered prayer and moving the Holy Spirit, and then there are areas where it doesn't seem like it ever get, I mean, wars and tragedy and all manner of kind of stuff happen. And you wonder where God is. Sometimes there's more healings, and sometimes there's almost no healing. And people still love Jesus. They're still calling on him. There's still lots of places, lots of areas. They believe in healing and all this other kind of stuff. It's just not happening. And today, we have faith healers, we have all kinds of stuff, but we have little pockets. We have somebody rise to power, as it were, faith healer, and they seem to heal a lot of people. But they're not, it's not really open church-wide. You can't go to just any old church or any old church that believes in the spiritual gifts and see healings happening every service. You might see a little bit more move of God, or feel the presence a little bit more, feel more blessed or something, but you don't see actual whole bunch of stuff happening. So you got some place to have a solid background to know it's available for you. Faith is important, but it's not something that's going to make something happen. It can, because it's important. Faith as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. So if you're wanting to build your faith up to as big as a mountain because you want to remove the moon, well, you know, maybe it's not ever going to happen, because you want more of something that only a great grain of mustard seed would have been enough. Faith ministries are great and all that. But there is more to life that says lots of things go on with God. God is not somebody that you can say, 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the things about God. You can't do that. God is far more complex than that. We read the Bible over and over our entire lives, and every time we read it, we get new revelation. How could we have missed such a thing? But yet sometimes we get astounding revelation reading the Bible for the 20th time. Come across something. God is amazing. However, again, you can have physical healing today and always. There's other things involved in today that was never happened before. And that is, we're nearing the days that Jesus is going to return. Now, God moved a lot various times in history, and then he didn't move so much that anybody could see as a group called Christians or the world, unless you're in a particular location and you can see God moving a lot in a certain place. But if you're out of that place, and you may not see a whole lot, so we call it the time that God didn't move too much. And for a long period of time, we say God didn't move too much. But there's a lot of times that God moves, and in different ways. We got a lot of these church denominations today because God moved a lot on a lot of people not all that long ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Develop all our known denominations today. And then, of course, we have older denominations. And these didn't happen because somebody decided to create a church. People are called, and they die, and then everybody else takes over that denomination, and it gets into headquarter rules. And we're in the stage now where all the denominations are in a complete control of headquarters, and God is really often not considered because you got payments to make, you got to pay for this, and you got you turn church into a business. And you're manufacturing, sometimes you're manufacturing Christian. Well, this can be a problem. And it also has brought us to a point of time, but this point of time is the time that's going to see Jesus return. And so, there's going to be some new types of things. This is the time that God's going to move. After all, if nearly 5 billion people are going to die, you better believe God is going to move. They're not dying all because, you know, it's just Satan. You know, God tells you what he's doing, and he's telling you that he's raising up a people to spank Christians. And so part of that 5 billion that's going to be dying is to get your attention. God is going to move. In this period of moving, he's going to send new ministers to preach, and they're going to have more activity in the move of God. But another thing that's a part of these last days is it is not so much individual oriented. You're not going to have this big worldwide household name minister. You know, we got just so many, but they're just, you know, you can probably find, with all the TV channels on today, you could probably find a household minister fairly easy. But they're just here, and they're just here, and they represent gobs of people. Here we see healers, there's one. Way off yonder, there's another, you know. This age we're moving in now, this time, because it's the time that Jesus is soon going to return, much more of the operations of spiritual gifts are going to be in your hands as individuals. You're going to be able to lay hands on people. They will be healed. They will raise from the dead. many things that we always attributed to some faithful minister way up on a pedestal. God must have called him because he can do some. God's got these gifts for you. And you could be healed. There's many gifts, but one of the gifts is that you can be healed of your malady. If you don't get healed, don't sweat it. It may not be fun being whatever malady you have, but you know, you might be healed tomorrow. You might be healed right now as we speak. You might not get healed. Because you're not getting healed means give up. Maybe the next time you say, heal me in Jesus' name, you'll be healed. You're not hitting the rock that Moses hit. So if you did it a second time, you're disobeying God. You're not sending Jesus back to the grave like Moses sort of did when he was getting that water out of that rock and he was mad at the people because they were so disobedient. So he hit that rock twice real hard. So he never got to see the promised land. Still got the water. But you can ask Jesus for healing. You might just simply put your hand on the part of hurt. You say, that area might be healed in Jesus' name. And you get healed right away. You might have to spend a good period of time, 10 minutes, an hour, days on end. That doesn't mean completely the whole time, but during periods of time, you might have to raise your hand to God, say, I praise you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. And you say many good things that you know that you've had in the past or anything else. Praise Him. Praise. Praise. What is praise? You did this. Well done. What did I do that was well done? And you name the thing. You know, you praise Him and praise Him. He inhabits your praises. And He can heal you there. You can go to places or ask people to lay hands on you to be healed. You can find people that are having the gifts. Because there's gifts of the Spirit. Then you're able to get healed in the other several gifts as well. But some people are going to have the gifts of healing. So you can go to these people. And there's going to be more of them than they have been. Because more of you are able. Because you're given the gifts. We're living in the time that God is, though He was moving more secretly in the past, so it didn't look like much was being done, He's always working. He's always building, always constructing, always getting people prepared and moving on. But now it's going to be more openly. Put your hand on that place that hurts and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer gets you saved. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Read the King James Bible. If I've said anything that has touched you, please let me know. My email is up there on the screen. And there is a phone number there. You can let me know. See you next week.